We're eavesdropping on a personal conversation between the mentor and the mentee. That's quite a relationship. It's almost like father and son. It's a very intimate relationship. You can't mentor anybody and not become involved with them and love them and care about them and be concerned about them and want what's best for them. And you can't be mentored by anybody that you don't have respect for, that you don't think that they are living the life you aspire to and what you hope to accomplish. And they're surrounding you, insulates you. It informs you, insulates you, and it inspires you. That's what a mentor should do. It should inform you, it should insulate you, and it should inspire you. It should inform you, meaning that you're getting knowledge. It should insulate you, meaning that there's a layer of protection around you whenever you're not the boss. Whenever you're submitted up under somebody, people think it's a bad thing, it's a great thing. No, it's a great thing because you're insulated by that person. The buck stops with them and not with you. You can make mistakes, they can correct the mistakes. That's part of the process. When they are gone, the insulation is gone, and all of the heat and all of the cold that they kept from getting to you now comes directly unto you. So it should inform you, it should insulate you, and then it should inspire you. You can be mentored by somebody that doesn't inspire you. You need somebody that inspires you. The word inspire comes from the word spire, which means to point upward, which is reminiscent of chapels have spires that peak up toward heaven. Inspire is to have something inside that looks up. So when I hear you preach or teach or minister or train or do what you do, you cause my insides to look up. That's inspire. That you don't want to be mentored by somebody that does not inspire you, that does not cause you to look up, to go to the next level, to be aware. So that's important. You want to get their information. You want to get their insulation. You want to get their inspiration. Those are three things right off the top. You need to understand that Paul was to Timothy. He insulated him. Whenever there was a complaint, whenever there was attack, whenever there was somebody to be thrown in prison, it wasn't Timothy, it was Paul. Paul insulated Timothy from being the one that was up under attack. Don't always rush to be in power because it's not as good as it looks. When you get into those situations, a buck stops with you, and instead of them hunting someone else down, they're hunting you down. They apprehend you. They apprehended Jesus. They didn't bother Thomas, Bartholomew, James, John, none of them. They came and got Jesus. They crucified the Lord. They beat him all night long. When you are at the top, you get the licks, you get the blows, you get the strikes. A lot of you are not feeling anything because you've been insulated. When the Bible says that the man should cover his wife, it means that a good husband insulates you, insulates you. Truth be told, a good wife insulates you. Good parents insulate their children. Good pastors insulate their church. Good presidents insulate the country. Insulation is a result of having great covering. And so that's an important thing to consider. So they should inform you. They should inform you. There's a communication responsibility. They should inform you. They should have information you don't have. They should, to come hear them speak, should not be out of duty. It ought to be out of hunger. You go there, you get fed there. Whoever feeds, leads. And so for them to inform you is a powerful thing. To insulate you creates a comfortable environment for you to do dumb things. That's really what it does. Creates a comfortable environment for you to make mistakes, for you to grow, for you to develop. And once that insulation is removed, then you are exposed to the elements and the cruelty of people and the comments of people and the mandates and, worst of all, the expectations of people. And so Paul was providing insulation for Timothy. He was providing information for him, and then he was providing inspiration for him. Now he writes a different kind of letter. This is not a class that we're talking to. This is not a school. This is not about him just making foolproof of his ministry. It's more than that. He is giving him his charge. It's like a commencement exercise. It's like a graduation. It's like a promotion. He gives him three things, and I want to talk about them because I think they're important. Number one, he gives him a charge. He says, I charge thee before God. And let's look at that in verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When you have great ministry, your ministry should vary. You shouldn't always be preaching hellfire and brimstone, nor should you always be preaching comfort and soft serve messages, but you have a responsibility to do all of it. You have to reprove, you have to rebuke, you have to be able to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, I want you to preach the word in season. I want you to preach it out of season. Preach it when it's faddish to be Christian. Preach it when it's not faddish to be Christian. I want you to do it, for the time will come. And this is moving from the charge to the challenge. The time will come. The time will come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And they shall heap to themselves. The time will come that you doing right will not be popular. The time will come that standing for truth will not get an applaud and an amen. The time will come that standing up to life and being a leader and being strong, whether it's being a mother, being a father, being a pastor, being a business owner, whatever you're in charge of, even if you're only in charge of you, there's times that the discipline that is required will not be popular. And people will not like what you have to say. And they will not like you, even though they don't really know you. They don't like you. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This is interesting today because we stayed in our church. No matter what the pastor preached, no matter how they disciplined us, they sat us down, they silenced us, they stopped us in the middle of our preaching, they pulled our coattail in the sermon while we were up in front of everybody and made us sit down. It was humiliating, it was embarrassing, but it made you be prepared. Today, you do something like that, people leave your church and go to somebody and they want somebody who's softer, somebody who is less demanding, somebody who pretty much lets you do what you want to do, has become the order of the day. It almost sounds like Paul is describing our day when he says they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They just want to hear what they want to hear. It's a struggle for me sometimes to do counseling. I confess it, especially marital counseling, because the people, by the time they come to you, they are already set in their position and they only are looking for you to reinforce their position to their husband or reinforce their position to the wife, and that's all they're interested in. They're not really willing to be informed, okay? They're not really willing to be insulated or inspired. They just want you to endorse their perspective. So I think, leave me alone. You already know what you're gonna do. You already made up your mind before you got here. Don't take up my life with things like that. The whole relationship between Paul and Timothy is quite interesting. Timothy has a generational relationship with God that goes back to his grandmother and his mother, Eunice and Lois, and he is the third tier of that generation. He is steeped in faith. He has inherited and been nurtured in an atmosphere of faith, and yet he still needs to be mentored. The fact that you grew up in church doesn't mean that you don't need to be mentored. Mentored in different areas of your life, spiritually, economically, handling finances, being mentored as a husband. The fact that you know Jesus doesn't mean that you know how to be a great husband. The fact that you know Jesus doesn't mean that you know how to budget your checkbook. The fact that you know Jesus doesn't mean that you know how to start a business. Stop conflating faith and using it in areas where it is not appropriate. It will not negate the fact that you might really be a believer. God may have really released you to open the business. That doesn't take away from the fact that you need to be mentored and developed to grow in that area. So a bond develops between the mentee and the mentor. It is a strong connection. It is Elijah and Elijah. It is Ruth and Naomi. It is John and Jesus. It is Paul and Timothy. In each case, there's an emotional, spiritual connection that occurs, or you can't do it. You're being fed at the breast of the person who's pouring into you. You're actually nursing off of their experience. They're guiding you around pitfalls and mistakes. And there's a gratitude and appreciation and an honor that goes along with it. You don't pick somebody because they're the biggest or the brightest or they have the most degrees or the size of their church. Their ability to really inform you, insulate you, and inspire you is the criteria of great leadership.